for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.
This is the 2006 July Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday evening, July the 1st, 2006. Nathan Hobson is the speaker of this service, teaching on deception.
Well, praise the Lord.
All right,
is God good?
Yeah.
All the time. Well, it's been an interesting year. I was going to wear that headset, and then I remembered I couldn't get my glasses on and off with it. So I'll just use this, okay? But anyway, it's just good to be here again, and we had kind of planned on being here in Memorial Day, but I had a grandson that graduated, and the first grandson that graduated, and I wasn't going to miss that. I've got this book here. I'm going to promote a book here in a minute, and it's on the table over there. But you know, it's really been an interesting this past year. We've been a lot of places, seen a lot of things. But one of the highlights of the year was back in March. I had the wonderful opportunity to go to the Coalfield unit down in Palestine, Texas, and minister deliverance in the Coalfield unit of the Texas Department of Corrections.
Right.
And we had over 500 men on Saturday afternoon, and we had over 200 that came through the prayer line.
Right.
We found grace and favor with the officials, because usually when they say you're through at a quarter to four, you're through.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't get through till a quarter to six. And it was a wonderful thing. God did a marvelous thing there. And I remember, and I'm just going to tell you about one guy. There was one guy, and he was on about the third row on this side, and they have a banister up there. The chapel there was built by the Catholic Church, and so it has the modesty rail across the front. And this guy said about where this lady in red is back there, and he looked meaner than a junkyard dog. And the whole time I'm teaching, you know, he's frowning at me and everything. But when he came through that prayer line, he's about this tall. Big old crocodile tears running down his face, you know. And I said, praise God, this is what it's all about. This is what it's all about. Seeing the captive set free. And it was a wonderful, wonderful experience. One other experience I had since then, and this wasn't planned or anything, but I can't even remember where we were. But I just mentioned in passing, because I wasn't even teaching on deliverance or anything. And I just said something about, I cast that spirit of Jezebel out, and every man in that place started coughing. Not the women, every man. So watch out, guys. Praise the Lord. But it's good to be back. I just love coming here. I've been coming here off and on for about 15 years, but the missed several years in there, but last year was the first time I came to minister, and I had so much fun that I was afraid they wasn't going to ask me back, and I'd have to have a spirit of pout cast out. You know? Well, praise the Lord. Dr. Nell said something that just really confirmed what I thought the Lord wanted me to share with you tonight. And back in January, I was coming from down in the San Antonio area back up to where we live. We live up in the north end of Texas in the Texas Panhandle, up close to Amarillo, not in Amarillo. But the Lord spoke and said that this year, 2006, there would be an unprecedented flood of deception poured out upon the church. Now, one of the most prominent themes in the New Testament is the warnings about deception. When you stop and look, all of the woes that Jesus pronounced to the Pharisees and everything, he was talking to deceived people. And when you think about it, who is the hardest person in the world to try to bring freedom to the person who is deceived. And so that's what I want to speak to you about for a few minutes tonight. And if you have your Bibles, I would invite you to turn to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And we're going to read about eight scriptures there, I believe, or seven or eight. And 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 1. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth that had been suffering from some measure of deception in some areas. And this is what he had to say. I'm reading from the New King James Version tonight. He said, "Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me. For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present to you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it." And then skip down to verse 12. "But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles or into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. And therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask your anointing to the preaching and the teaching of the Word and to the hearing of the Word. Speak tonight, Lord. We are ready to hear what you have to say to us. Strengthen, comfort, and correct us as is needed in each individual heart. And Father, we give you praise and we give you thanks for it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
Praise the Lord. God is good. Now, in my opinion, this is an opinion, okay? But in my opinion, one of the greatest neglects in the body of Christ today and in the kingdom is the failure to prepare people to deal with deception. I think it's one area of neglect that is also affects the deliverance ministry, if you will. Not that we intentionally go into it, but it just seems like we don't take the time to prepare people and to warn people and to show people from the Word of God what is truth and what is not. Now, always keep in mind that as we approach the end of the age and Jesus is coming back, amen, and it may be soon, but the solemn warning of the Lord Jesus Christ himself must be heeded. And in the Olivet Discourse, he said, "Be not deceived." Paul says there are going to be false teachers, false apostles. The scriptures that I read you. In Matthew's warning of our Lord Jesus Christ needs to be heeded, because in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, in the Olivet Discourse, the word deceive is used four times in that one chapter. Verses 4, 5, 11, and 24. Now, a spirit of deception seldom comes in with an outright deviation from truth. It's always mixed. It's always mixed. Satan cast doubt upon the Word of God in the garden. And false teachers will always have a mix. Let me tell you something. The Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses and any kind of cult you can think of and know about, they mix in truth with untruth. Now, I used to wonder a long time ago what 2 Timothy 5:2:15, wherever it is, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." I used to wonder what that meant, rightly dividing. Well, I asked a college professor one day, and he said, "Well, that's understanding the Greek." No, it ain't. Now, you had Dr. Null up here with his beautiful southern accent, but I'm from West Texas, folks. And what you see is what you get. And we have colloquialisms that are peculiar to West Texas. You know, how your mom and all of them, fair to middling, I hope? You know, stuff like that. We sure ain't. Well, you know, out in West Texas, they say you're either a saint or you ain't. You're either a saint or you're an ain't. I'm a saint. I don't know about you. Are you a saint tonight?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, as I say, a spirit of deception hardly ever comes in with an outright deviation from truth. It is. It contains that mixture of truth and error. In the transgression, Satan first cast doubt on the truthfulness of God's Word, and every major pseudo-Christian cult that exists in the world today uses a mixture of truth and untruth to deceive all who are vulnerable. Now, I have a set of tapes that a pastor friend gave me by one of the leading evangelists in America. And his whole, and he gave me those tapes, and I listened to them three times to be, or all of them twice and a couple of them three times to be sure I was hearing what I thought I was hearing. But let me just give you a little warning. When any preacher, me or anybody else, stands up here and reads a scripture and he says, I know you think it says this, but this is not what it means, you better watch out. You better back up and take another look. Or when he says, the Transformers got all this, translators got all this wrong, and he gives you a translation, and he's not a Greek or a Hebrew scholar, and he's just making it say what he wants it to say, and he's getting people excited and everything else. Let me give you an example. The thief comes not but to steal, kill, and to destroy, but I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, how many of you believe the thief is the devil, the enemy of your soul? How many commentaries have you ever read that said it was anything different than that? None. But you know what this fellow says it is? He says it's ignorance is that thief that comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. And if you'll just listen to me, you'll hear truth, and you won't be getting your good stuff stole anymore. Now, that's dumb. I mean, like I say, I'm from West Texas. I just got to tell it like it is. It's dumb. It's ignorance. People, I have to be careful here, right here. People are easily led because they want to hear some. Now get this. Have you heard the latest great revelation of truth? Give me a break. I'm going to talk about that a little more in a minute. Do you know something? Paul says this gospel is simple. And when people try to make it say something it doesn't say or try to complicate it, they're just trying their best to get a following after some revelation that they've had. Every cult, everything, every error, every heresy starts because somebody decided that they were reading something, and usually out of its context. You can take anything out of context and prove anything you want to by that book. And the old common thing that you've all heard, and I'll say it again, but Judas went out and hanged himself. Bible says that, doesn't it? Bible also says go thou and do likewise, doesn't it? Well, that's kind of ludicrous, really, when you use that as an illustration, but I'm just saying you can make it say anything you want it to say when you take things out of context. And a text taken out of context is a pretext. Read the whole paragraph. And the paragraph may run across the chapter line. Because the Bible was not written in verses and chapters. Now, I'm glad it is because it's easy for reference work. I don't have any problem with that. But it was not written that way originally. There were no chapter divisions or anything else in it. And so, the people who translated our Bible and the people who divided up in chapters and verses, I think they did us a good service. But isn't it kind of ludicrous to think that one man who has no Greek or Hebrew education, he's got no more help than you and I can have with Strong's and Vine's and the other commentaries and word studies and things of that nature, can tell you that all those hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of biblical language expert scholars don't know what they're talking about. So deception is there. Now, we were in a church not too long ago. I'm not going to tell you what state it was in or anything else. But the pastor of that church was up there preaching that you don't need anybody to teach you anything. I mean, he's teaching that you don't need anybody to teach you. He'd taken 1 John 2:20 out of its context. You have no need that anyone teach you for the Spirit. You know, I can't quote it right now, but you can look it up. But he's teaching not to be taught. Duh! Give me a break. That church finally split. He's got him a little group following him. And anyway, let me give you another example. About 15 years ago, about 40% of all the converts to Mormonism in the Dallas Metroplex area, Dallas-Fort Worth area, were Baptists that were converting. And at one point in time, there were 231 Baptists a day converting to Mormonism. Now, let me tell you something. Mormons have the best quality television ads of anybody, anywhere. My cousin's daughter lost her whole family, her husband and children and everything, in an automobile accident, and they were a member of a particular denomination, and for about a month or two after the accident, well, the church people were around, and then they just disappeared. And one day, there's a knock on the door, and there's two fine-looking dressed young men there, and she was led into Mormonism because they showed care for her. Now, just let me say this in passing. If you're wanting to see your fellowship grow, start creating relationships with people outside of the body of Christ, people outside of the kingdom of God, and befriend them in such a way that you lead them to Christ. Friendship evangelism is still the most effective tool that we can use in building the kingdom. Letting people know you care about them. As someone said, I think Cheryl said earlier, love. Now, if you love Jesus, you've got the love of God shed abroad in your heart, and there's no reason why you can't love the unlovely. Is everybody as lovely as me? There's a whole lot of a whole lot more lovely than I am, because I'm just a big mess unless Jesus helps me, okay? And so are you. Now, I'm not picking on the Baptist about their converting to the Mormonism. What I'm saying is that truth mixed with untruth is very persuasive. And once an individual opens the door, a spirit of deception enters in. And Jesus spoke to this in Matthew 23:15 in this text. And in this text that I've chosen tonight, we see the apostles' concern for the saints at Corinth. Now, Paul is filled with jealousy. You see, when you have a pastor's heart, and I don't know how many pastors we have here, but when you have a pastor's heart, a real pastor's heart, you are concerned. And sad to say, sometimes pastors get so concerned about the family of God, they neglect their family at home. Been there, done that, guilty of that. She forgave me anyway. Didn't you? Okay. But there's just something. God just works in pastors a jealousy for their people. Now, there's a false jealousy. There's a spirit of false jealousy that's more concerned about numbers. Come on now. Let me just lay something out. I used to go to a Monday morning coffee with a bunch of other preachers, all of one particular denomination. And while we're sitting there, you know, well, one of them said, well, to the other, and said, well, how many did you have in church today, yesterday, you know, and this, and all of them named a number, you know, and everything. And one of them said, yeah, we had 4 additions to our membership yesterday. All of them began to look nervous. And finally, one of them had enough nerve to ask, wasn't one of ours, was it? Well, the thing of it is, they're God's sheep, they're not yours. You're just an under-shepherd. Now, the saints at Corinth were vulnerable to deception. And Paul talks a lot about that. There are several instances in the Word of God where he says, be ye not ignorant. 1 Corinthians 12:1, he says, now concerning the spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Now, ignorance isn't stupidity. Unless you are willfully and you choose to remain ignorant. And then it becomes stupidity. Mm-hmm. You might as well say amen or oh me. Because it's the truth. Willful ignorance is just as bad. It's a sin. It's just a sin. That's all there is to it. Okay. Now, what he's talking to there in at Corinth in that first letter is the misuse of the gifts of the Spirit. And we've seen that. We see that used. You were talking about prophecy, personal prophecy. How many of you have seen that abused? How many of you have never seen it abused? Well, I got news for you. It's abused a whole lot more than it's ever been the real thing. I know one evangelist that will go to a church this size, and before it's dismissed at night, they will prophesy over every person in that church. Now, I just don't think that's real scriptural. I'm sorry. I just got a problem with that. I really do. I have a big problem with that. But you know what? There's probably somebody in this room, if you knew that somebody was going to prophesy and give you a word over at Fort Smith, you'd be in your car going over there tomorrow. Because, boy, they can draw a big crowd. Big offerings and all of that stuff. Because they're going to give you a word. They're going to read your mail. Let me tell you, the real prophet ever reads your mail, you might not like what you got, the letter you got. But when they just tell you all them warm fuzzies, you better be careful. Just put it on the shelf. You know, when I first came into the charismatic movement and the full gospel ranks, I don't care where I went, I got prophesied over. I went to a meeting one time about 15 years ago now, and the guy prophesied over me three times. They even gave me a tape of them. You know, not a thing he prophesied has ever come true yet. I'm talking about deception. I would rather drive that 100 miles to hear somebody preach the Word of God in its simplicity and in its truth than all of the deep revelations anybody ever had. Can a person have a revelation out of the Word of God? Yes. You can get a rhema word. The word will just jump off the page at you sometime, and it's for you, but it's not for you to go out and build a new denomination out of it, a new movement out of it. We got more movements now. Well, I'll not say what I'm about to say. It's almost like we've been taking X-Lax. I'm sorry. I may wear out my welcome tonight. Well, the Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. I believe it. Now, another thing that they were doing at Corinth was they were choosing personal heroes. Now, I've had some heroes in the faith. I don't mind telling you that. There's one of them sitting right here. Well, there's two of them sitting over here. Okay? Frank Hammond, Frank Marzullo, Derek Prince. I never did meet Derek, but Brother Frank Hammond and I were very close friends. Brother Marzullo and I were close friends. Both of them been in our home several times, ministered in our church and what have you. Wonderful people, wonderful men of God. You know, the last time Brother Frank Marzullo was at our place was about three or four months before he passed. And he was leaving our church, 88 years old, leaving our church, going to Guatemala for a 3-week crusade. And, you know, he just got promoted. Same with Brother Frank Hammond. I mean, we got to hear him speak the last time he spoke before he got promoted. And, you know, but you need to keep your personal heroes in the right perspective. You see there at Corinth, one of them was saying, I'm of Apollo. Another said, I'm of Paul. And then, of course, you know what the real spiritual one said? I'm of Jesus. Well, 1 Corinthians 1:12 says, now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. That's deception when you begin to follow a man or a leader. That's deception. They were being deceived. Not by these men, per se, not by Apollos or Paul or Cephas or anybody else, but they were choosing to follow some super saint, so to speak, if you will. And how often do we see that today?
All the time.
Somebody say, oh, have you heard so-and-so? I mean, I'm telling you, that guy is something else, or that lady is something else. And no, they're just like anybody else. I like what John Osteen said. I think I already said it once. But somebody's bragging on how good he was and everything. John Osteen said, let me tell you something. Without Jesus, I'm just a big mess. And that's all any of us are. Without Jesus, we're not much of nothing. Well, what about ignoring sin? The church at Corinth was, he said in chapter 5, verse 1, it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you and such sexual immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man is his father's wife. And you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. So what is the deal here? It is ignoring sin. If you ignore sin, it ain't going to go away, honey. I just have to tell you that. It's not going away. You got to deal with it. You've got to confront it. And whether and that same principle applies to your own life. Now, I am convinced that one reason a lot of people never keep their deliverance is simply because they refuse to repent. Oh, there's that word that we don't like to hear in the church anymore. But let me tell you, and I say this with all sincerity, if you don't repent of the thing you want rid of in your life, you can go through deliverance 47 times and you'll be worse. You've got to turn away from that thing. Peter Horbin says if you don't repent of it, there's not any point in somebody casting that spirit out. In other words, a lady come to me one time and she said, I want you to pray for the spirit of addiction to cigarettes. And I said, I ain't going to do it. She said, why? And I said, have you quit them? No. I said, they won't do no good. Because as soon as you get in the parking lot and drive back out in the streets, you're going to light up and that spirit's going to come back. It's going to bring some more with it, and it's going to be harder the next time. When you lay them down, when you make up your mind you're going to lay them down, then we'll cast that spirit of addiction out. She finally laid them down, it was cast out, and she's free today. But you see, you got to have repentance. And repentance is not just feeling bad and sorry about something. Repentance is a 180-degree turn from the direction you're going to back toward God. And without repentance and holiness, no one's going to see God. That's another thing the church has kind of forgotten about is holiness. He goes on in chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians. Dare any of you having a matter against another go to the law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Go down to the courthouse and sue somebody and all them. Come on. Now I know about lawyers. Our oldest daughter worked at a law firm for 25, 30 years. So I tell you horror stories about lawyers. All right. What about the church at Galatia? In chapter 3, verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? Who turned you away? Well, the Judaizers. Let me tell you something. There's a whole new movement of Judaizers raising up today.
Yes, there is.
Now, I love typology, however you want to say that, in the Old Testament. I think every page basically gives us types and shadows of the real and of Christ. I love it. But when people get so caught up in the Jewish traditions and things that everything, you know, they start wearing a little beanie and all that stuff, it is an abomination. Now, there was a whole church in Virginia or Kentucky here about 15, 18 years ago, that the pastor got into that, led his whole church out of Christianity and into Judaism. I'm telling you, this deception thing is a whole lot more dangerous than what you think. And I know I'm kind of telling maybe some wild stories here, but they're true stories of things that are happening. There is an ever-present danger of deception taking root in the believer. There's always that. That's why deception is so prominent in the New Testament, in the epistles. Everywhere you read, you start underlining, be ye not deceived. They are deceived. Deceived and being deceived. Start underlining those. And if you can't underline your Bible, get you one that you can. Now, Satan is very subtle. We all know that pretty well, don't we? We know about the craftiness of Satan. In verse 3 he says, I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. I have fully come to the conclusion that it is our purpose as we travel throughout the country here to preach the simple gospel. That Christ is the Savior, the healer, the deliverer, the one who keeps us, who strengthens us, comforts us, and corrects us. And that's pretty much what Janie and I preach everywhere we go now. Now, Satan is crafty. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, it says, Now the serpent was more cunning, subtle, than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said? Did God really say that? Oh, God didn't really say that. That's not really what he meant. I know you think it says that, but that's not what it means. Isn't that the same trick? When somebody, I've heard famous radio preachers say that. They'll read a scripture and they'll say, I know you think this is what it says, but that's not what it means. Well, just let it say what it means, and if you don't understand it, get you a different translation. Read it out of 5 or 6 or 7 different translations and get it. And then if you still don't understand it, go for godly counsel to somebody that can help you with it. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. If there wasn't a need for safety in the body of Christ and in the kingdom of God and God's people not being deceived and led astray, why are certain scriptures in there? They're there to protect us, to help us, to lead us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. We sang that song, I Want Your Glory. And I began to think, you know, God, I want You to have Your glory. Now, it's a beautiful song. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Because I want God to be glorified in everything. And if He's not glorified in it, come on now. If He's not glorified in it, what's the use of it? There's not any use of it if He's not glorified in it. Now, the serpent was subtle. Appearances can be very deceiving. In verse 13 of this text, he said, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Coming on like gangbusters. We got a new revelation. We got a rhema word from God. I know you've always thought this, but that's not what you need to be thinking. You need to be thinking. Now, by the way, our address is, I remember one famous radio preacher, television preacher, he preached a whole hour. I watched him on not getting out of debt, being debt free. At the end of the program then, if you want this tape, send us your MasterCard or Visa number. And after he's preached for an hour, I'm saying you ought not to. Come on, folks. Is it possible that we Christians are naive or maybe just dumb? Appearances can be very deceiving. You know, Satan himself appears as an angel of light, and his false apostles and deceitful workers, they transform themselves into apostles of Christ. And it goes on in verse 14 and says, no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if the ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. James chapter 3, verse 1. Be ye not many masters, knowing you'll receive the greater condemnation. That word masters means teachers. Be ye not many teachers. In other words, those of us who teach are going to have to give an account for everything we teach. My little crack about movement a while ago may get me in trouble before the master. Hello? But I'll give an account for that, every idle word. And when the Lord raised that up off the page as a rhema word to me, I began to try my best to make sure. And I've had to go back, when I pastored for a long time, the same church for nearly 18 years, I had to go back and correct some things. Because I'll give an account one day for everything I teach. I'll give an account for what I teach tonight. I'm going to receive the greater condemnation or judgment for it. So I need to be careful, don't I? And if you're a teacher, you need to be careful. Don't just, buy every new fad that comes through the body of Christ. And how many of you can look back in the last, since 1970 even, and see the different things that have happened? They come on like gangbusters. Talk a little bit about that in a moment or two. Well, there's a classic story, and we won't read it all, but I'll just refer you to it. But it's found in Joshua chapter 9, verses 1 through 27, if you're keeping notes. And the children of Israel had gone in, and God had delivered Jericho into their hands after they had marched around it for 7 days, and then seven times on that seventh day. And he told them to not open their mouth and say a word all those times they marched around there. You know why? Because one of them had looked at them and said, boy, this is a dumb thing we're doing, isn't it? And would begin to cast doubt upon it, on what God was doing. And then they got so filled with pride. Of course, there was sin in the camp, but they got filled up with pride, and they went over against Ai and got spanked pretty good. Well, they had to get sin out of the camp before they could go in and conquer Ai. And about the time they get all through, here comes the Gibeonites over the hill. They're just a few miles down the road, you know. And here they come. They got some old broke-down camels. They got on some old raggedy clothes and some old water skins that are about to crack and fall apart. And they're everything about it. And they hadn't shaved, you know, in all this time. And they just looked like a bunch of bums. And he said, oh, we come from a far country. We've heard of your greatness. We don't want to be anything but your servants. Just make us your servants. Man, I mean, tell you, them Israelites thought they'd found a bird nest on the ground. You know, the old blind hog found an acorn. You know what I mean. Now, that's Arkansas talk, okay? We ain't never had a deal like this. We can have all the servants we want. Problem is, when they got loaded up and sent them folks back, and they gathered together and made the next move over the hill, there they were. And they had vowed to them that they would not attack them. Even though they were deceived, they had to honor their vow. That's why in Proverbs says it's better to not make a vow unless you make a vow and not do it. Deceived. Prove all things. One of my favorite scriptures, 1 Thessalonians 5:21, says, prove all things and hold fast that which is good. In other words, you hear somebody coming out with a big new revelation, or they say, you know, I know you think it means this, but that's not what it means, and blah, blah, blah. Prove it. Look at it in its context. And again, if you need to, check it with several references. Look at some commentaries. Get some godly counsel. Find out. Now, there's a lot of truth that a lot of people in different denominations will not accept. There are denominations that won't accept deliverance. There are denominations that won't accept the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues. There are denominations that don't accept healing. But prove it in the Scriptures to your own satisfaction. Prove it to where you don't have any problem about it. Let me tell you something. I was raised in Church of Christ Christian Church, got saved in Baptist Church, filled with the Holy Ghost in Charismatic Church, got ordained to preach in Baptist Church. I mean, I'm a Duke's mixture. I'm a Hines 57. Pastored Assemblies of God, Pentecostal Holiness, and Charismatic Churches. I've been there and done that, had the t-shirt and the cap both. Okay? Let me tell you something. I learned something from every one of those groups. I learned truth. And I learned how to separate truth from tradition. Because most of the denominations are built on a truth they discovered a long time ago. You know, let's be real honest about it. Us Pentecostals, I'm a Pentecostal by choice, see. Now, I don't mind calling myself Pentecostal at all. Now, I'm a Pentecostal by choice. But we went to seed on tongues. Come on now. And I speak in tongues, I'm like Paul, probably more than anybody in here. But as a truth, we went to seed on it. It became the end, the wonderful experience. It was just the evidence of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. That's all it is. And it's a way to communicate with the Father through the Holy Spirit. You know, he that speaketh in tongues speaketh not unto men, but unto God. And I love speaking in tongues. But that's not the ultimate experience. The baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues and the gifts of the Spirit that are listed in 1 Corinthians 12 are given to us to prepare us to go out and do the stuff out in the world to promote the simple gospel of Jesus Christ, that he came to save that which was lost and undone. All right. So prove all things. Now, the third thing I want to point out to you in this is the simplicity in Christ. And that means simply that we have to be focused on him. Now, he says here that, where is it now? Verse 3. so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. That word simplicity in the Greek language, according to Dr. Strong, means singleness, sincerity, without dissimulation or self-seeking. One definition is without duplicity. Without duplicity. Singleness means folded together or single. It's the same thing, same difference as when a man leaves his mother and father and takes on himself a wife and they two become one. It's singleness. And the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So it is imperative that we stay single-minded, discovering the truth that is in the Scriptures, the truth that is in Christ, walking in that truth and not being led astray by every little wind or doctrine that comes along. Ephesians 6:5. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to the Lord. In other words, bondservants, you serve your master the same way you would serve Christ. Be filled with sincerity. As Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I tell the guys in prison, I've done a lot of prison ministry in the past, and by the way, probably be going back to Coalfield Unit again, God willing. I didn't get 100 miles away from there to going back down south when the chaplain called and said, we got to do this again next January. So hopefully we're going back. But one of the things I tell these guys in prison, I said, I don't care nothing about your jailhouse religion. Anybody here do prison ministry? You can go into a room full of 50, 60 men, and you can preach a simple little message, and you can get every one of them stand up and get saved. Problem is, I can go in there the next Sunday and do the same thing with the same bunch of men. So when I go into the prison, I make it hard for them to stand up. I say, now, I don't want any of your jailhouse religion. If you're going to stand up just because I'm here and I've preached Jesus to you and you think it's going to make points with the chaplain and he might write something on your ledger or something about it, just stay seated. But if you got enough guts to stand up in front of these other men and say, I want Jesus in my life. I want a life-changing, transforming experience with the living God, then you stand up. And instead of having the whole bunch stand up, I'll have maybe 5 or 6. Then I try to talk them into sitting down. And I tell them, it's like this, honey. You got to make a life-changing decision, an irrevocable decision. And they all look at me funny, you know, well, what's an irrevocable decision? I said, well, you know, there's a water tower out there by the unit, and there's a ladder that goes up to the top of it. You go up to the top of that, you get walk around, and then you stand up on that handrail, and you take one step out, and you just made an irrevocable decision. Because you can't get halfway down to the ground and change your mind. They get the point. I said, now, there's two laws that come into effect there if you do that. You know, if you step off that thing. One of them's the law of gravity. The other's the law of stupidity. But they get the point of it. And we have to make that irrevocable decision, unchangeable decision. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter... Where am I here? 1 Corinthians 2:2. Do I have that written down here? I don't. Well, I'll look at it real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. Computers are wonderful things. Did you know that? I think most of them need to be delivered from the demons in them, but ones I have anyway. But chapter 2, verse 2. Paul says, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Nothing but Christ and Him crucified. Now, Matthew 6:22. He says, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is sound, single, your entire body will be full of light. That's out of the Amplified Version. Luke says in Luke 11:34, the lamp of your body is your eye. When your eye is clear, single, your whole body is full of light. But when it is bad, your body also is full of darkness. That's from the New American Standard Version. The Amplified Version of that same verse out of Luke is this. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye, your conscience, is sound and fulfilling its office. Your whole body is full of light, but when it is not sound and is not fulfilling its office, your body is full of darkness. Now, single-minded, keeping your eyes on Christ, not looking off, not chasing after this fad or that fad. There's all kinds of fads that have come through the body of Christ. The hyper-faith, the shepherding movement, the healing, unity, inner healing. If I speak again here, I'm going to really address that subject. Just let me say this in passing about inner healing. There are a lot of people working in the deliverance ministry today, many of them I am personally acquainted with, that are integrating human secular psychology in with the scriptures. And it's happening more and more all the time. It's happening more and more all the time. And I may address that, if I speak again, I'll probably address that more in depth. Okay. All right. Now, there has been and will continue to be a great deal of deception in the church. The reason I brought this book by Derek Prince out, it's Protection from Deception. It's a little book. They got some of them over there. This is my own. I brought it with me. It's got Janie's underlining and her notes in it. I'm not going to read the whole thing. But he tells about how he got involved with the shepherding movement and how it came about. Remember this: the shepherding movement, the initial idea of it was pretty basically sound. But so it was with what became the hyper-faith movement. It's what happens out in the grassroots with people who do not study the Word of God themselves, but accept whatever popular preacher they hear teach it. And then they take a little bit of truth and they run off in about 9 different directions all at once with it. And the first thing you know, you got the biggest mess in the world. Let me tell you, there's people out of the shepherding movement that are wounded and have not been back in church since the 70s. There are people that were in the hyper-faith movement who believe God failed them because they exhibited all the faith and exercised all the faith that they knew they could. But they were taking things and that men were saying. Now, I believe in faith. I'm not in a doubt movement. Y'all understand that. I'm a faith. Okay. But there were people taking things, and they would say, just get you a scripture and stand on it. Well, I saw 2 or 3, and one of my dear good friends was buried because he took a scripture and stood on it. And at one point in time, he could have had that little cancer on his lip removed and probably wouldn't even left much of a scar. But it eventually ate in his throat because he believed God. But he was acting in presumption and not in faith. He was acting on what somebody had told him instead of getting in the Word. Now, I'm not opposed to doctors. And if you get a rhema word from God, like old Kenneth Hagin did about his condition, I believe he had a rhema word from God and he walked it out. That's all right. But you can't take his experience and apply it to your life. Unless you get the same rhema word from the Bible that he got. Right now. Then you can walk it out. But how many people were deceived and how many people do you know that got buried, come on now, simply because they just took some man's word about it. Prove all things and hold fast that which is good. Well, Derek's deal with the start of the shepherding movement began basically, and if you get the little book, you can read it all, began basically when he and Don Basham and Charles Simpson and Bob Mumford, were together at a convention. And they found out while they were there that the host pastor of that church was a homosexual. And they met together in the hotel room and prayed about it, what to do about it. And something gelled in their hearts and brought them, because they didn't even know each other. All of them didn't even know each other before that night. And yet, within a very short period of time, and he tells about it, that thing went haywire. And I know a lot of people that were involved in that that are out of church today and won't go back. Now, one thing he does say, he says, yet in spite of that, about how they were joined together, I don't think the thing went a year before the problem was personal ambition in different forms. One wanted to be the leader of a movement. Another wanted to appear on a platform. And because of the deception involved in this movement, another problem was that we were not renewed in our minds. And because of the deception involved in this movement, as well as many others, we find a great number of people today who are hurt, wounded, and many out of fellowship because of these spirits of deception. Now, here's the thing. If you've ever been involved in any kind of cult in any way, the hyper-faith movement, or under any kind of dictatorial leadership, we were talking to somebody recently. They were telling of a pastor that they knew, that some of their family was involved in it. That you didn't go anywhere and ask anybody any question about any scripture. You went to your pastor only. That's a red flag. And I mean, when you see a flag like that, you better run like you never run before and get away from there. Let me tell you something. Now, my lightning fast mind is not the greatest in the world. I know that. But I study. I study the Word. This one of those messages that I'm going to bring, I think is one of the greatest things the Lord has ever really given to me, and it's about the detestable things, about idolatrous things, and what have you. But I've read every commentary I've got on it. I've read every word study I've got on it on my computer. I've studied other people's interpretation of it and everything else. And if I bring that lesson to you, I'm willing to show you all of the confirmation of what I'm trying to say in it. I'm willing to show you any kind of confirmation I've got about this message tonight. I don't want no secrets. If you're not buying this tonight, you need to pray over it. Okay? You need to understand. You see, one of the real problems we have when we talk about this subject is, I know my amen brother here could be deceived, but I couldn't be. I know that Carla could be deceived, but I couldn't be. Yes, I can. Yes, you can. We all have the potential to be deceived. And if we get to the point where we think we'll never be deceived, that we don't have to worry anymore about proving all things and holding fast that which is good, then we're already deceived. Well, let me wind this up. Then we're going to, as Brother Frank Hammond, you say we may have a coming out party here in a minute. Okay. But if you've ever been involved in any cults, hyper-faith, or any other kind of dictatorial leadership, heresy, or error of any kind, and you're ready to be healed and delivered, please stand up. Everybody okay? But if you've ever been involved in any of this stuff, maybe you've already gone through deliverance. Did you not hear me? I said, please stand up. If you've ever been involved in anything at all like that, then stand up. Okay. Everybody else, I guess I'll cast the spirit of pride out of you. Now, you may be thinking, this is in my notes now, you may be thinking to yourself at this moment, I don't want to admit that I could be deceived. That's pride. That's nothing but pride. Because I promise you, everybody in here at some point in time have been, may still be, deceived about something. Thank you for being honest. You're going to get rid of that tonight. Now, John 8:31-36 says, "Then Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, If you abide in my word, and you are my disciples indeed, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered him, We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone." Now, he's talking to the Pharisees. But they're in bondage to a false set of rules and regulations that couldn't bring anybody to right relationship with God.
Amen.
How can you say you will be made free? I'm not bondage to anybody. Pride, spirit of religion, works, you name it. That's where they were. All right. Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Well, have you ever been involved in any of the cults or anything like that? You ever read any of the books, The Watchtower, or anything like that? You ever opened yourself up to any kind of, to the horoscopes or anything like that? Have you ever read anything about magic, black magic, white magic, crystal balls, palm reading, tarot cards, then you need to stand up. And I'll give you the opportunity again here in a minute. Because you see, every one of those things is a deception. It is a false spiritual thing, and there's something in the heart of every individual in the world that wants to find a supernatural touch. It's in us. That's why people all over the world run off after all kinds of false gods and idols and everything else, is because they want to experience the supernatural. And that's why all that stuff, witchcraft and all that stuff, is so powerful, is because everybody has the desire to experience something supernatural. Well, let me tell you something. You can experience something supernatural tonight because the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Holy Ghost, can come down and set you free. And maybe you've been prayed for this before, but it won't hurt you. Do it again. And we begin to command some of these things to come out. If it ain't there, it won't come out. That's a Frankism. See, I quote Frank Hammond a lot. That's a Frankism. But he also said, when in doubt, cast it out. When in doubt, cast it out. Now, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Father God, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we come before you now to take authority over all the works of the enemy. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we break every chain of bondage that holds these dear people in bondage. And in any kind of deception, every curse that has been spoken against them because of leaving any particular cult or fellowship or anything, we break it off of them. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we declare every curse null and void at this very moment. Father God, we forgive any and all who have caused any pain or hurt in this area of our lives. Father God, we thank you for hearing our prayer. Now, Father God, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we come against all these spirits. Now, let me just remind you that the word spirit is breath, wind, air, ghost. Every place in the Bible where it talks about the Holy Ghost, it's the word pneuma. It talks about spirit, it's pneuma. It'll either be Holy Spirit or an unclean spirit. And so what we do, and Brother Marzullo always did this, but we encourage people to participate by breathing out, taking a deep breath and blowing it out. You may involuntarily cough, yawn, or anything like that. But just participate. That's all we ask, that you participate. It's, again, if it's not there, it can't come out. So right now, I take dominion over every unclean spirit that has brought deception, all spirits of deception, to any cult or any false leadership or anything. I take dominion over that spirit of deception right now, and I command it to leave in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out right now. All spirits of deception, come out right now in the name of Jesus. Come on out. Come on out right now. In the name of Jesus, all spirits of deception, you come out right now. Spirits of deceiving spirits, all deceiving spirits that are trying to lead people into some kind of garbage or something like that. Spiritual trash heap, if you will. All deceiving spirits, I command you to leave right now in the name of Jesus. Come on out right now. Every one of you, come out. Come out now in Jesus' name. All cult spirits, all spirits that are involved in any kind of cultic operations at all, I bind you right now and I command you to leave these people right now in the name of Jesus. All spirits of cult, you come out right now in the name of Jesus. Come on out. Come on. Come on out right now. Always with deception, there's always a control spirit. It's like the Jezebel spirit. But all spirits that control, controlling spirits, unclean controlling spirits, you come out right now in the name of Jesus. The desire to control or the willingness to be controlled. You all come out right now. All controlling spirits, you come out right now in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Okay, Jezebel, you got to vacate the premises. Every Jezebel spirit in this place right now, you got to come out. All Jezebel spirits, come out right now in the name of Jesus. Come on out. Come on out, Jezebel. Come on. You're not going to control these people anymore. You're going to leave. You're going to leave right now in the name of Jesus. All Jezebel spirits, you leave. What about Ahab? Anytime you got Jezebel around, you're going to have Ahab too. All Ahab spirits, you come out right now. Ahab is that one that wants to be controlled, that is easily manipulated, gives in to pressure, willing to do whatever the controller wants them to do. All Ahab spirits, you come out right now. Jezebel's already gone. Ahab, you leave right now in the name of Jesus. All Ahab spirits, you leave right now in the name of Jesus. All spirits of error, all spirits of error, I command you to leave right now in the name of Jesus. All error spirits, you leave right now. All lying spirits, you come out right now. Get gone. Get gone. Spirits of pride. I'm right and everybody else is wrong. I can't be deceived. I could never be deceived. See, that's the way that old pride spirit will talk to you. It'll build you all up, make you think that you're smarter than everybody else, and you got more knowledge than anybody else, and you're more spiritual than anybody else. All spirits of pride, right now, you come out in Jesus' name. Come on out right now. All spirits of pride, come on out right now. All pride. I got about 50 listed here, but we're not going to go through this whole list. Here's a good one. All know-it-all spirits. All know-it-all spirits, right now, in the name of Jesus. You come out right now. All know-it-all spirits, you come out right now. In the name of Jesus, I command you to leave. Vacate the premises right now in Jesus' name. All spiritual seduction spirits. Spirits that causes someone to be receptive to deception. All spiritual seductive spirits, you come out right now in Jesus' name. Come on out. Come on out right now. See, the thing about it in deliverance, it's not how loud you talk. It's knowing who you are in Christ. And Luke 10:19, he says, "Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you or harm you." Now, let me give you a little word study on that. Your newer translations say, "Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy." In the KJV, it says power in both places. The first place where it says power, it's the Greek word exousia, which means the privilege, the right, and the authority to do it. The second place that word power is used there, it is the word dunamis. Now, all Pentecostals know what dunamis is, don't we? It's a mighty supernatural, a mighty miraculous force, usually supernatural in its nature. You have authority over the most powerful things that Satan has. The dunamis that Satan has as a believer in Jesus Christ, you have authority to take dominion over that. Well, that ought to make you shout hallelujah to know that. You know, that Luke 10:19 is one of the most powerful verses in the whole Bible. And then another one is Mark 16:17. Are you a believer?
Yes.
Say, I'm a believer. Then, since you're a believer, signs are going to follow you. And what's the first sign it says there? They shall cast out demons. Every believer. See, the thing about it, if we're deliverance ministers and teachers that like I'm doing tonight, if I don't equip you to do your stuff the same way, then I'm not fulfilling my obligation. We all believers, and it doesn't matter young or old, all believers have the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, which are symbolic of the demonic realm, and over all the dunamis power of the enemy, which means Satan, We have that. And it doesn't matter if you're born again, child of God, believing in God, you have that authority and you have that dominion. So use it. Wonderful book over here on the table by Brother Norman Parrish, Deliver Thyself. If you haven't read that, you need to read it. Study it. Because you can bring deliverance to yourself. If you feel something inside of you, a temptation or a thought or something that comes on a regular basis, it's a spirit trying to manipulate you, then cast it out. Say, I cast out of me. That's Brother Marzullo's favorite way of doing it. Everybody say this. I cast out of me. You spirit of unbelief. Now take a big deep breath and blow it out. Now that's the way Frank Marzullo did it. Isn't that right, Brother Glenn? Isn't that right, Brother Doc? And it works. Well, praise the Lord. Praise God. I don't know about you, but I've had a good time tonight. I'd love to come against the devil. I really do. Let's see if there's anything else here. One more. Everybody say one more.
One more.
All spirits of confusion.
Right now.
In the name of Jesus. You
spirit of confusion.
I cast you out of me. Now take a big deep breath and blow it out. Now let me ask you a question. Is it gone?
Amen.
Amen. How do you know it's gone? Because you told it to leave. Faith. See, I don't have any problem believing when I tell something to leave somebody, it's got to go. Now, how could I do that and it not go? If I'm got unconfessed sin in my life, if I'm not walking in the anointing of the Holy Ghost, unconfessed sin would stop it from flowing, would render me powerless. So when you're a deliverance minister, it's imperative that you walk in holiness and in righteousness. Now 1 John 1:8 says, if we say we do not sin, we lie and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from how much? How much? How much? Tell me again. All unrighteousness. Then that means if all unrighteousness is gone, then I must be righteous. That's what it means. Praise the Lord. Well, is everybody all right tonight? Now, just before we close, does anybody need special prayer for healing? Brother Doc and Brother Glenn will be glad to. And we're going to pray for Brother Glenn and his voice. Anyone else? If you need, there's two things, you know, in the story in the Bible about the woman with the issue of blood. And usually when we pray, we talk about old Jesus touching. But let me tell you a little secret. If you really study that particular verse of Scripture, she said, if I can but touch Him. And how do we touch Him? By faith. In other words, when we pray for somebody to be healed, we touch Him with our faith, just like she did. And He said, your faith has made you whole. And so it's not only Him touching us, but it's us touching Him.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.